You guys want to start by introducing yourselves?
Big Al Hunt, the trumpet and vocals for the Hot 8.
Benny Pete, tuba player and leader of the Hot 8 Brass Band.
Well, thank you guys for dropping by the magazine. I want to get right to talking about your new record, which is called The Life and Times of the Hot 8 Brass Band. It came out last month. But I'd actually like to start off talking about the album art. You have a montage inside of all of Banksy's graffiti art from around New Orleans.
That's all his work. He granted us the rights to use all his work. He liked it, the band. He a fan of the band, and so he was like, cool. So a lot of them paintings and stuff you might have seen in the city somewhere.
So you guys actually had contact with him?
Yeah, he reached out to us, actually, and he was up for it when he found out what we was doing. You know, the label talked to him, and he was like, cool, you know.
But I assume you didn't meet him in person because he's kind of an anonymous guy, right?
Yeah, it's just the emails and a voice. Yeah. The record label spoke to him more than we did. They connected me with Three-Way just to say hello and give him thanks for giving us the opportunity. And he was like, he was happy that we were interested in even doing, using his material, and it was vice versa. He had just as much appreciation for our music.
So I guess he must have been to one of your shows before, right?
Maybe because he's been here. You know, we see a lot of his artwork around. I believe he had.
One of the songs on the record, Bingo Bango, is a cover of a Basement Jaxx song. You guys recorded some tracks for one of their records a few years back, right?
We met those guys about, it's been a while now, about 5-6 years ago now.
I think about 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
And the guys were just so cool, man, and down to earth. And yeah. They were just open to the music. They liked our vibe. We clicked out and boom.
Yeah. It was crazy, though, because if I remember right, we were hanging outside of a club over there. And we just went to talking to them, and it was like it just clicked. It just so happened the venue we was playing at was next to the studio they was recording in. And so we just was like, we just started rapping. And next thing you know, before we did the performance, they had spoke with their manager, and it was like, we interested in y'all guys coming and record. And so we wound up making it happen.
The video for the song Ghost Town off the new record has been getting some attention on YouTube.
Yeah, the video was unique to the lyrics of the tune. We just found a lot of spots deep in the Lower Night Ward that never had attention to it, you know, since the storm. And we recorded it and we shot it there. And we didn't put anyone in it, just us and a lot of blighted properties and a lot in the communities, you know, where people would love to come back.
Yeah. Trombone Shorty contributes a trombone solo on one tune on the album.
Yeah, that was on Fine Tuner. It was just more of a thing when we recorded it, we listened to it. It was like, we should get trombone on this one. He'll love to play this one. And it was already a popular tune that we played on street that they love. A lot of the other musicians from different bands who was more musically inclined, that was the tune that they really liked to hear us play. And so it was easy. We just called them. He was like, when? And he did one take, and it was it.
Yeah. Al, you contributed an original song for this album. It's called New Orleans, parenthesis, After the City. Can you tell me anything about that one?
It just came about really just grinding and trying to come up with new material. And it was right after Katrina. And the lyrics are just real. It's how we felt about the city at the time, what we were missing about the city, and there was a lot of speculation that it wouldn't be able to be rebuilt, it wouldn't be the same, it would never be that old New Orleans, and I try to just capture all of that, like, within the music, like, you know.
So how long have you been playing trumpet with the Hot 8?
Since the end of 2001.
And how'd you end up getting together with Benny and the guys?
Actually, just being in the Uptown community already, and they were like the only Uptown brass band, and I was more likely to be around them and hang around them being Uptown. And one night I just got a call asking could I make it to sit in, and I did. And from that night it was just like I knew where I belong, man.
Where was the band playing then?
Beam Brothers, Uptown, 3rd and Daniel, classic spot. We outgrew it. It was so, that was like in the early struggles. And the place was tiny, but it was so many people and such a good atmosphere inside of it to like, people would come around just to hang on the outside because it was too packed inside. Just to catch the tunes from the outside, it was like the beginning.
Yeah. Returning to the present, how's the reaction to the record been so far?
this album has been, we weren't actually ready for the reception to this album. The Ghost Town reaction is just crazy. It's like right under 30,000 views on YouTube right now, and it's been up for about, what, 6 weeks, something yeah. like that. We did a tour in Ireland about a month ago, and we hit about 6 cities in Ireland, Dublin, Cork, Galway.
Are people familiar with the style over there?
That's the amazing yeah. thing. They follow on the internet, so they're really up on it, and the energy from the crowd is just crazy, cause like they're so on it, like, and they don't get it every day. So while we there, they can't wait to bust it. They can't wait. It's like everybody in the place is just like, whatever I tell them to do, they're on it. They have a different appreciation for it.
It's a definitely. Greater response overseas than in the States. You know, that's crazy.
I guess we're just used to it here. So it's been a number of years since you guys put out a record. What was it that got you back in the studio?
It wasn't really our choice not to have another album. It's just that we had went through a lot of trials and tribulations with losing band members and things of that nature, and then trying to pull ourselves together, because, you know, when we was going through it, it took a lot out of us. You know, some of us didn't want to play no more. Some of us didn't feel like recording. As a band, that wasn't even on our mind that we need to have another product, another project out. It was more like we was just trying to bond with each other who were here, reach out to the family members or the lost band members, and do a few gigs just to, you know, keep our head above water. And that was like really it. You know, we wasn't really functioning properly for a while, you know, just going through the
repeated cycle of just what he said.
I wanted to move. I was tired of New Orleans, you know. I felt like, you know, I would be the one next. I felt like, you know, me being close to these guys, knowing that they wasn't violent and troubled people, and they just lost their life to violence like that. I was like, man, I could do that. That could happen to me. I'm gonna get the hell out of New Orleans, you know. And really, that's where I was at, you know. And I had made a promise to myself. I said, if anybody else in my band passed like that to senseless violence, any type of way, I'm leaving. And that's when De Niro was killed. But when it happened, I didn't want to leave. When it happened, I had a different reaction. I was like, man, I'm going to stay. I want to reach out to these kids, and I want to continue. That's when I wanted to record. I said, it's time to put some music out. It's time to let them know how they still, we're going to make it through this. We're going to pull together and make it through it. And personally, I found my second wind, and I found the love back for the music, and I was like, come on, God, let's do it, you know. Let's get ourselves together and pull it together and put something out. So we just kept hitting the studio. What we would do is, whenever we have tours coming up and we're on the road and somewhere in the States, we would always seek out our studio. And that's how we would spend our time on the road. We got ourselves a hard drive. And whenever we had an off day or we had some extra time, we would just go to the studio on the road, and it helped us out a lot. Because it was easy, cut your phone off, and no friends is coming to pick you up and, you know, distract you away from doing it. So we just there. We don't have nothing else to do. So let's just go record this. Let's go record this. And that's what we did.
So this is all over the course of the last couple of years that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it was 08, 09.
Yeah. Past 4 years. But we definitely have 4 years worth of work.
Yeah, we have. That's why we had like 14 songs on it, and the record label was like, it's too big, it's too much music on it. It was like over 88 minutes. Right. It's too big. This, right. A lot of those songs are actually cut down. If you look, they're still long. They're 5 and 6 minutes, but like New Orleans, what the time is on New Orleans?
That one's 5:29.
The original time was 12.
Yeah, really?
It was that long. You know, so, you know, we had to chop it up, and that's why I wound up being 2 CDs. So Jazz Fest would be another CD.
Great. Well, thank you both for coming by to talk with me.
All right, thanks for having me.
Oh, just thanks to everybody who still stuck with us and still supporting the Hot 8, and know that we're on the road heavy. That's why we might be out of the rotation at home a little bit, because we're doing so much travel and internationally traveling and everything. So the ones that still hold us down here in New Orleans, we got much love for you. And everybody who recognizing, much love to y'all. Offbeat, man. Y'all calling us back. That's what's up. Shout out to y'all for sure.